Welcome to another Lunch with Chairwoman Christina Caramo, December 22nd, 2023. This is the official voice of the Michigan Republican Party. And now here's Chairwoman Christina Caramo, and you're in your car.
Yes, I am. I'm on the road.
Okay. And since you're on the road, there may be some time where we might not be able to hear you or whatever, but we'll do the best we can this morning and make sure everything is put together. So tell me about this Colorado case with Trump and what you think about it.
Yeah, it's very concerning that you have this entity who has decided that they're going to dictate that whether or not Republican voters actually have representation, are able to pick the candidate that they want. That is not the business of the court. In Michigan, the same group is attempting to also kick President Trump off the ballot in Michigan. And we are currently, the Michigan Republican Party is currently being represented by the American Center for Law and Justice. We filed two amicus briefs. Thus far, we've been successful to prevent this from occurring, us and other groups. And also, in Michigan, we're somewhat protected because we do have a party convention to vote the Republican nominee for president. So that helps us tremendously. But we do have a portion, not to get into the weeds too much to how the presidential primary works, but we do have a portion, 16 of our at-large delegates will be selected based on the results of a statewide election where the general public will vote. So we still run the risk of individuals through lawfare and personal biases being able to dictate whether or not Michigan Republicans have political representation. So the case will be appealed up to the Supreme Court, and we're just not going to put up with it. We're not, you know, Republican state chairs. We're united and working together, and we're just not going to have this.
So this is the importance also of the primary. A lot of people just blow that off saying it isn't going to really matter, but it is the voice of the people in the primary that really make a difference in who Michigan is going to be supporting, correct?
Oh, you know, to your point, Austin, I actually think the primary is even more important than the general, because oftentimes we get complete scoundrels in the general election because not enough people voted for the best person in the primary. The primary is huge. Because, you know, as you and I both know, it's not as though just Democrats are all evil and then the Republicans are just all, the Republican elected officials are all just so perfect and wonderful. We've all encountered some awful Republican elected officials. So the reality is that the primary election gives us an opportunity to elect the people who actually represent our interests. And if that process is tainted with, then Republican voters won't have political representation, and that is a problem.
Well, you know, some of this reminds me of Rules for Radicals with Saul Alinsky. Is that kind of the same thing for, you know, where you're seeing some of this going? I mean, this is all frivolous lawsuits that are being put forth that are so legally weak that the object is not to get a conviction as much as it is to demeanor the president of the United States, well, former president for that matter, Donald Trump. Is that what you're seeing as well?
You know, it's interesting you bring up Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and I encourage everybody to read that because that book is, you know, modern American politics. You see those tactics done so much, and they're designed to manipulate the public so you don't see the truth. You just see what people are saying and repeating, whether it's true or not. You know, there's a saying from Alinsky, if you repeat a lie enough, people will believe it.
Right.
And so if you look how a lot of people, and again, the position of the Michigan Republican Party is we do have to remain neutral in the presidential primary. But think about this. The obsessive hatred for Donald Trump is just bizarre. It is bizarre. You know, we see it just repeatedly. I mean, they just hate this man. And the reason why oftentimes the lawfare, a lot of the general public don't see a big deal about it because they've been conditioned to hate Donald Trump.
Well, the same thing is happening on the state level, though. There's so much disinformation going on that people don't know what to believe about anybody anymore. And this is all an Alinsky tactic.
Yeah, it is. You just repeat. They hate him because I've talked to people and I've asked them, like, well, why do you hate Donald Trump? And I don't know. I just hate him. Well, and the reality is that's part of an Alinsky tactic. It's just ridicule. You just cyclically just pummel a person with ridicule. So if you look at that on a grand scale from the media, if you constantly repeat a message that this man is evil, he is terrible, he is awful, he's a threat, and just repeat it over and over and over and over and over again, then it starts to get ingrained in the mind of the public, like, he is evil, he is terrible, he is a threat. So then the general public will permit unconstitutional actions or just morally unjust actions because they've been conditioned to hate a person. And this has been done to many people in politics, but what we're seeing right now is why this lawsuit is even persisting, is because they had to set the groundwork of just using this Zelensky tactic of just cyclically ridiculing. You freeze and you attack. You freeze and you attack. And that's why this Colorado case has some support from small segments of the public.
Yeah, you know, there was this man on the street routine that was going on, and they said, well, you know, President Biden's doing a real great job, and everybody goes, yeah. And then what they did is they would mention certain policy things. Oh, yeah, I think that's really great. Yeah, I think that's great. I'm for that. And then they would say, well, all of those things that you say are really great, Donald Trump accomplished. And the people are actually shocked that they've basically bit the bait in believing what the news is actually reporting, or as Donald would put it, the fake news. You know, I'm watching what you're saying here. I think this is a great idea to really encourage people to read Rules for Radicals. It's not a big book. It's relatively thin. It's an easy read, but it gives you the lay of the land. And one of the things I want to bring up with that is it describes the fact that you do not compromise with your opponent. Instead, you're out to destroy your opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to your point, that's been it. You step back, the Rules for Radical book was dedicated to Lucifer.
Yep.
That should tell you about the people who employ these tactics. Because what most decent people want to do is, if you can find common ground, that's what you should do. But the goal of Rules for Radical is just sheer power. And if I destroy somebody, if I ruin their life, if I destroy their character, it doesn't matter to me, because what I want is sheer power. Whether this person is wrong or right, I want sheer power.
Exactly.
And that's to your point, like you said, when you looked at Donald Trump's policies when he was president, our country was doing very well. You know, the border wall was being built. Our economy was strong. We had energy independence. And the list goes on of positives. And even with all of that, you still have a segment of the population that just hate him. No matter what, they just hate him.
Yeah.
And the reason why, again, it goes back to the Zelensky style, just freeze and demonize, just pummel a person like a blitzkrieg with demonization attacks. So people are confused and they just keep saying, well, I just hear a bunch of people saying he's terrible, and they don't think through it much more than that, and they fall for it. And it's really, really nefarious how individuals will engage kind of tactics. And this is why, you know, we have, and this just doesn't happen to Donald Trump. I mean, it's happened to other people as well. And a lot of times the general public, who are like the independents, right, they'll just think all these negative things about conservative policies and what have you, because they're not informed on the nuanced details of the issues. And the general public oftentimes is just not politically astute enough. And this isn't to disrespect the general public. What goes on is that there's a small segment of us who are crazy enough to want to be this politically involved. And so, you know, the general public is going about their everyday lives and what have you. But we need people to be better stewards of our society and not fall for manipulation and messaging from others. We need people to get to the bottom of the story themselves and engage in their government. That's why we have the Good Neighbor Program, which I advocate for every week, people to get involved in. You can sign up on our website. But it is so critical that citizens get involved at the local level and know exactly what's going on. That way we can't be manipulated, because it's really unfortunate. And I don't get angry, but I watch so many people getting manipulated with false information that they just, I heard a lot of people say it. Oh, I heard it on the news. And one, how we combat that is by building community. Because once we reestablish community, then it's going to create a situation where we have bigger social circles. We have circles of people who may not think like us. And then that kind of protects us from a lot of that indoctrination, because we're involved at the local level and we're going to be more willing to push back, because we're basing our actions based on what we witness, Evan, personally understand versus just what somebody told me. And I know it's a lot of various things that the Good Neighbor Program really tackles, but it's a really great system.
Yeah, because we need to stop thinking about this and that and the other thing and really start looking at policy. And what we've seen in the State House and Senate this past year, the policy is just unbelievable. So if you're going to vote somebody in or get behind a candidate, read the party platform and see how much the individual adhered to it. And the other aspect of this is, what is the policy? What is the vision? Too many people vote on emotion, and that's why I think what you're talking about with the Good Neighbor Program is so important, because you can get news from the top down through a network of people, and you know, it takes away the power from the power brokers and really puts it in the hands of the people. So how does someone get signed up to be part of the Good Neighbor Program?
It's MIGOP.org. Go to our website. We have a sign-up link. And if you're already signed up, you can log into your account via our website. But to your point, you know, one of the things we want to do is decentralize power. And the way you decentralize power is really through educating the public. Because there's a reason why, you know, our form of government has never, as far as this a republic like this, I mean, it's very rare that you see anything like this. Like, Rome had a republic at one point. You know, for some reason, humans, we just descend, for some reason, we descend into tyranny and these systems where we centralize power in the hands of a few, because maintaining a republic is a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work, because you have to watch what people are doing, you know, make sure, keep check up on them, because oftentimes, you know, when I go interacting with the general public, or, you know, even Republican activists, you know, they'll support a person for office because they like them. And it's like, well, are they morally justified? Are they competent? I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I've known him for 25 years. I taught him in school. Okay, well, just because you were his elementary school teacher doesn't mean he should be an elected official. You know, and I don't mean that to deride or mock people, but my point is that we have to be more politically astute, and it takes work. So
yeah.
What we're doing is trying to systemize the approach, so citizens know how to engage and be independently politically informed. That way they're politically informed, not based on what somebody in their network told them, but they're politically informed based on looking at vote records, looking at bills that are in committee, and they work collaboratively with a small group of people. That way they can all work together and share information and provide resources. That way people can know what's happening.
Yeah.
Because I'm convinced, Austin, and that if more citizens actually understood what was going on, they wouldn't put up with it. They would be up in arms, pitchforks and all. They would just be beside themselves.
Yeah.
But most people just have no idea where the general public is being lulled to sleep, because information has been centralized into the hands of a few. And
yeah.
We don't want chaos and anarchy. That's not what we want. That's why a systematized approach and, you know, we're protecting our republic, keeps an informed public, keeps it orderly, but keeps hands in the power of the people.
Yeah,
and keeps power in the hands of the people.
That's so important, because what you're saying is absolutely true. How many people read the Constitution and understand it, or the Bill of Rights? Or for that matter, how many Republicans have actually read the platform? You know, I think it's very important, and I just want to encourage people too. You know, what Christina is saying about the Good Neighbor Program, if we want to win, then you have to be part of this. And it doesn't matter if you're a precinct delegate or not. And the other aspect of this is financial support. You know, we need to have not passive Republicans anymore, but we need to have active Republicans. And that includes, even if you give $10 or $25 a month, your support for the GOP, because now it's not in the hands of a few, it's in the hands of everyone. And so we need to stand up and actually become active within the system. And any last thoughts?
You know, to your point, I would just say that we really, you know, we need to pray for our country and pray even for our elected officials, which seems like the obvious, but we have to, because we are really entering unprecedented times as a country. When you look at the totality of what's occurring, you know, we have a wide open border where military aged men are storming our border from kill or be killed cultures. We have President Trump being kicked, the attempts to kick him off the ballot and deny Republicans the ability to have political representation. you look at the litany of things that are occurring in our country, and we have to sit and say, are we going to put up with it? And part of our us pushing back is going to come with prayer, praying for our elected officials. And as Christians, we, you know, and I know everybody isn't a Christian, but especially as Christian, as a Christian, I'm speaking, you know, we have to stand up and get involved. We have to. We can't just sit back and be passive anymore and just praying that everything will change. I mean, we have to pray. We have to do that part. But we also really, really need to be active. And that's what, but one thing we have to do is just pray for our country, because I don't think a lot of people really fully understand what's going to happen next year, because we saw what happened in 2020. We saw all the shenanigans that these individuals pulled in 2020. Just watch what they're going to do in 24. It's going to be unprecedented, and we need to prepare. And the best way we prepare for that is, one, pray, but being vigilant and organizing in our local community so we can be safe.
Yeah, and that's so important. And that's, again, the whole Good Neighbor program. Well, I want to also, again, emphasize, get active. Even if you're given $10 or $20 a month, get active. Go to your local officials. Read the read Rules for Radicals. Read the platform. Read the Bill of Rights. Get familiar with the things that has made this country great. And, Christina, the website is MIGOP, and these broadcasts are on that website as well, correct?
Uh-huh. MIGOP.org.
MIGOP.org. And it's also right on the page of the chairman, from the chairman. And I would encourage you, if you're listening to this, share it with 10, 20. If you are a chairman of a particular county, a GOP chair, share it at your meetings. Get people involved to hear week by week what is going on. And, of course, you can always go to MIGOP.org to find out what is happening and what events are going on. So thank you so much. I know you're driving, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to all. And we are going to be experiencing a brand new year really quick. So tune in next week for another Lunch with Chairwoman Christina Caramo. These are weekly broadcasts that you can have while you're eating your lunch, or just sharing it with the fellow workers or wherever you are. This podcast is produced and paid for by the Michigan Republican Party and is the official voice of the Michigan Republican Party. This is Austin Kreutz. Thanks for listening.